All right, if you will this morning, turn in to the Word of God in Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to be reading verse 1 down through 12. Verse 12. Passage of scripture is really speaking about the characteristics of a Christian. And you know, to have a Christian character is you'll also have Christian morals, you'll have a Christian attitude. And if you have a characteristic of a Christian, you don't have to worry about this and that. And you don't have to worry about if you're doing it the right way or not, because you will do it the way the Word of God says do it. And if the Word of God says it, that's what God said, because He allowed over, I think it's 50-some or 40-some men to pen down their scripture as the Holy Spirit led them and guided them to write it for me and you today. And I hear somebody else say, well, you know, the scripture, why does it just say that and don't say something else? I said, I reckon God felt like it. We're human beings, and we got the mind of just a human being, and we have sin that we have to conquer each and every day, and we have to go by it and everything. And I says, on top of that, if you really think about it, there's no way under the sun that we could have every word that God had ever spoken, and through Him, and through the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit, we would not be able to read it all. If you could gather 1,000 people and have them to read all of that in one session until they got through with it, the 1,000 individuals could not read it. They'd end up leaving and going home before they got through. Because the Lord, the Father didn't intend for us to have it all. He intended for us as Christians to use our mind, to use our heart, to take the scripture for what it is, and He allowed us to be able to think about it, ponder over it, and ask the Holy Spirit to teach us about it. If we had it, we would not even read the Bible. If we had it all, because we wouldn't know where to go. Matter of fact, I don't think this sanctuary right here could hold the Word of God, what the Trinity has spoke about there for so many years, and telling other people and what to do, and the disciples and everything, leading God and directing. I don't think this sanctuary could hold it all. And I want to ask you something else too. If you had a book that you knew that you needed to read, and if that book was as big as the sanctuary, would you read it? Nope. Why? I ain't gonna be able to comprehend all of it. You got so much that to read. I ain't got time to work. I ain't got time to get sick. I ain't got time to do this and that. We'll never read it. But right here in chapter 5, it's speaking about the Beatitudes in chapter 5. And what I don't hardly ever use the Beatitude. What I use is leave it be and the E off. The attitude of a Christian. What is our attitude as a Christian? Characteristics of a Christian. Chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit. For thou is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for that is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuteth they the prophets which were before you. Now, Father, we want to thank you for the reading of thy word. And Lord, we thank you for the people that come out this morning. And Father, I thank you, Lord, Father, for the scripture. And I thank you for what you've given me, and Lord, that I meditated on it. And Lord, and I pray that you'll just touch these lips of clay, Father, that these lips will speak your words from the word of God. And Father, bless these people, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. The characteristics of a Christian. He who spoke in times past by the prophet now opens his mouth. You know, the prophets of old, and when it's talking about opening his mouth, it's just not open his mouth and just saying the first thing that comes to the mind. But it's speaking about the prophets now open his mouth. These first words of the great teacher came from God. Reveal the way of happiness, not through doing, but being. Happiness is found not in what we have, but in what we are. This blessedness belongs to every Christ-like character. The last verse that I read, what did it say there? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. We all know we're going to receive a reward in heaven. But here in the beatitude as the Lord Jesus Christ, as he speaks to the people back then. He said, you look at that reward and how great that reward's going to be. And when you get that reward, and he going to hand you the reward before you even speak to Jesus, before you even thank him for anything. Because, see, we must thank him here first for what he's done for us and for what he is going to do for us. But not only that, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecutest they the prophets which were before you. Persecution came to the prophets before the other individuals did. Now the church today, the true church, based on the Word of the living God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, based upon this Bible, and I, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to tell you this is the only Bible, no, because the original Bible, the original manuscript, he says, take it and put it away. He has the original manuscript right there for him to be able to open it and for him to be able to read it and for him to be able to help us read what we've done wrong. It's there in heaven today. This right here is not that book. Because that book has every name in it. Whether a Christian or whether lost, that book that is settled there in heaven has never been opened since it went to heaven. Today, we can see where in the Word of God, so many different things, and if we don't watch it, so many different things in the Bible can get us all twisted around. And I don't know if I've ever said anything, I ever told you anything, but we had a young family come to church, a brother Sharvel, and they missed Sunday morning and a Wednesday night, and we thought maybe somebody in the family was sick. So me and Brother James Hughes, we went up to their, where they was living at. They were living in a trailer right there off of 29 here, going towards Greensboro, but right there on, Elizabeth Street. You go right up there, and it was a trailer. Bunch of trailers down off the road on the left-hand side going up. We went there, and we just got to talking to them, and we just got to tell them, saying, you know, we've been missing you, church. We won't never come, you know. You been sick any? Because it seemed like they was missing more and beginning to be more and more. And they never did before. I mean, they was always there. If a preacher, a missionary, or if a pastor's going to show up, you knew that they was going to show up. That's the way they were, because they were so close. And they loved God. And they loved this book. They didn't get saved there at the church. Nobody led them there from that church. But everyone who led them to the Lord Jesus Christ led them. And yes, and they got saved, they got born again. But the individual that led them to the Lord just put it aside from thy own. Didn't go back and call them. Didn't go back and see how they was doing or anything. Are you in church? Are you going to church anywhere? Nothing. Didn't call them. And he did not know. He was just an old country boy. He just come out and looked like I had the tobacco field. He didn't know where to start in the Bible. Start reading. And he said, well, the Bible, it's a book. See, that's what he said. It's a book. So I started at the front of the book in Genesis. Well, he said, now, when I got away into Leviticus, he said, my mind. He says, then they was doing things that there wasn't nobody here doing anymore. And he said, and I thought I had to do exactly what they said. But he says, I come to find out I can't. And that's after he had really got out of church. And he says, there's something is missing that I don't know what it is. I know we got sidetracked. Nobody didn't teach me exactly where to start at in the Bible to read. I just saw that it was a Bible and there was a book. And I just started to form the book. But see, what the people didn't tell him, within this book, there's many, many volumes here. There's 66 volumes between the front leather and the back leather. 66 books. And we can start anywhere we want to, but we have to start at the beginning of that book to get the whole side effect and the whole solution of what that book is speaking about. And we need to tell people, don't get hung up on something that you don't understand. If you read the scripture, yes, you're saved. Yes. Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father, He lives within you, the Holy Spirit too. The Holy Spirit will teach you what the Word of God says. I says, but if you do not grasp it right then, it's because you're not going to have to use it anytime soon. Because you're not going to face it next week or the week after. The characteristics of a Christian. The Christian's character. In verse 3, it says, he is poor in spirit. This is not spiritually being poor, because that through the poverty of Christ is made rich. We can be the poorest individual on the face of this earth. That we don't have a dime in our pocket. We don't have a penny in our pocket. We don't even have a place to where we can lay our head down at night, except for the cold ground and the hot ground during the summer. We don't have no job. We don't have no money. We don't have no family that even wants to speak to us no more. Because they say, well, they doing something wrong. They just didn't know how to handle our money, so they haven't lost everything. No, that ain't it. That ain't it. It's because of poverty. I would rather be an individual on poverty, not have a dime,
not have even family that want to speak to me, or anybody come to me and say, "You doing okay today?" I'd rather live like a pauper. I'd rather be living like that, what do you call them, the hobos. When you get on, they'll walk down the tracks and everything, and then they'll see a train coming, and they'll get off the side a little bit, and the train will be coming up a hill or something and going real slow. Then they'll jump on a boxcar there. Hey, man, he thinks he's got it made because he's riding a boxcar. He's riding. But I'd rather be somebody that have nothing. Had nothing at all. And the only clothes that I'd have on my back would be ragged pants, ragged jeans that got holes in them and everything. Which I understand today, and I see them. They're real popular today. They sell them for $80, $90, and $100 today. But, you know. That's beside the fact. And the only thing I'd have to eat is when I got off the train, I'd be walking past a place of business, a fast food place, and then I see a 55-gallon drum at the back of the building. And I go over there, take the top off, and reach down in there and see what the guy, see what's in there. It was somebody had ordered chicken. They didn't eat it all. Looked like somebody just ate the crust off of the chicken and maybe took a bite or two off. Then I'd sit down. I'd say, "Hey, that's food, that's nourishment." And then I'd reach over in there and grab one. Take it up. Put it in my mouth and eat it. Somebody would be coming out of the restaurant then. They'd see me over in the barrel getting my lunch or something like that from there. And they looked down at me and they said, "Look at what he's doing. I mean, that's filthy." You may tell you something. I'd rather be filthy than rich any day. But I'll tell you one thing, like the Word of God says, yes, I can live in poverty, but as long as I got Christ with me, as long as I live and I walk beside Him, I'm not living in poverty. I'm the richest human being that they ever lived in that particular city or county, or that neighborhood, because I know where my food, I know where everything is coming from, and it's coming from the Lord above. That's the reason the hobo can go and reach in that 55-gallon drum and reach in that and just go through it, look like it's trash in it, and then see. And hobo, what did he do? He thanked the Lord for that chicken. Why? Because it brought nourishment to his body. The Lord will give us exactly what we need when we need it. The humble spirit is indwelt by the God of grace and glory. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15 says, let me see.
Go back over to it. Oh, man. What is it? Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the High and the Lofty One that inherits eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the High and the Holy Place with Him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. He touches us. In verse 4, it says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Not for fear of missing the kingdom, but over everything that hinders His greatness and growth into the image of Christ, over the sin of others, and over the enemy of the cross. He is meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. He will not be like His master if He was not meek and lowly. Matthew 11:29 says, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your soul. He would not be like His master. We're not like our master today. I'm not nothing like Christ. I'm supposed to strive to do everything I can to be like Christ, because that's what a Christian means, to be Christ-like. And to be Christ-like is a means you need to strive that Christ will lift you up and He will indwell within you, and He will teach you what today, and you would mind His teaching, and you would mind His going, and He would mind in what you saying to lost souls. Not rending and railing and for railing, but contrarywise, a peculiar people. Oh, man. God called me peculiar. Why would God call me peculiar? Because I am. Why does He call you peculiar? Because you are. You know what peculiar means to the Christian? A treasure chest. A treasure chest is what it means. So what we are, we're God's treasure chest. And that chest is filled with jewels, diamonds, every kind of thing that you want to think of that is good. And think of that treasure chest. Think of it this way. With everything that's in that treasure chest. My mouth is dry. But just think about that. All of the things that there is there. And how rich it is. Man,
the President of the United States, Congress and the Senate, and they go back and they look where, when, what's his name over Iraq, Osama bin Laden, when they was all murdered, when they was all, what did they end up doing? They ended up in a hole where somebody else, or maybe they even dug the hole. They didn't end up back at their home, and they went to bed, and they laid down, and they died in a comfortable bed. No. Just like at Saddam Hussein, the one, what's it, the one in the first one that they killed him, and they found him in a hole, over in Iraq and everything. I'll tell you what. Yes, he had billions, and he had probably trillions of dollars in gold. Soldiers and people was coming out, and they was taking all what gold that they could carry. But when the end time come for his life, he ended up in a hole. He didn't end up in his own mansion like he'd lived all his life. Nobody could save him from what was going to happen. Oh, they tried. A bunch of people was murdered for it. He had his own family. Some of his own family even murdered, so he wouldn't have to end up being murdered. But when he come down to the end, he faced that awful word, death. You know, to an individual, to a human being, where God has given life to, from birth on, whether they are Christian or whether they are not, death never comes to neither one of them. Death don't come to a Christian. It's only life. And how long is that life? That life is for eternity. How long is that life? Forever. How long is it? For eternity and forever. Eternity and forever. That means it goes on and goes on and goes on and until God says time now. Well, now it's time to just quit. But I don't think he's going to say that. Yes, and each one of us is going to have a specific duty when we return back to the earth that God has purified by fire. We all are going to have a specific duty to do, and we're going to have to hold up to it. You're going to have individuals that's going to be holding office. You're going to have different individuals that's going to be the president there in Russia. You're going to have Christians where they're going to be president over in Iraq and Iran and in Egypt, in Assyria, in Africa, and all the places over there. You won't even have a Christian president of the United States of America. Can you think about that? Just think about that. And not just a Christian president. Everybody in the Senate is going to be a Christian. And we ain't never heard so much truth come out of the Senate, and then the Congress that's going to come out. We're going to be living with Christians. Yes, I may be the mayor of Chatham. You may be the mayor of Danville. You may be on something else in the city of Danville. You may be running something. You're going to be running a part of the world that we're going to be living in. And that's going to be heaven on earth. Can you imagine? Just think about it. Just let your mind wander a little bit. Can you imagine heaven here on earth? No evil. No demons. No Satan. None of that is going to be here. Nothing is going to sway us from the truth. Nothing is going to sway us from serving God. You know, we have people today that's hungry and they thirst not. Not after the pleasure of sin and worldliness, but after righteousness. Righteousness unto God. These craving are the natural desires of the new man. The new man, the born again believer, the Christian that walk closer to God and want God to be able to touch them and give them the desire to work and to serve with Him. And He is merciful in verse 7. His delight to show mercy because He Himself has had great mercy and showed Him Christ prayed for His enemy. So do we. See, Christ says right here in verse 7, Christ prayed for His enemy. Even the ones that were standing there at the cross, that hung Him on that cross, and they had already heard from Pilate that He had done nothing wrong. Don't take Him. Take the other one. But the people gathered together themselves and they started hollering out, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" And that's what they did. They crucified Him. Let me ask you something. Did the Lord just stand down with His mouth closed? Not doing a thing? No. He said to them, and He said to all the others, and He said to me too, and He said to you too, "Yes. Yes, I died for you. I died only for you." And He wants to make it personal. That's the reason He said, "I died only for you." And when He says that, He made it personal. And we need to make it personal. We need to make His love personal. We need to make our love to Him personal. That when we pray to Him, that He can feel the love that comes from our heart towards Him. And when we hear from Him, we can feel His love the way it went forth, where He gave up His only begotten Son to go to the cross of Calvary and to hang there between heaven and earth. He done it all. He laid it all down for me and you. I'd like it individualized your own property. I didn't have a dime. Didn't even have a penny. Didn't even have no money on me at all. I didn't even have any. I didn't have no more strength to even give Him.
Only thing I could do is just say, thank you, Lord. And we would be surprised. We would really be surprised. Faith Baptist Church as a whole, the members that are here today, we would be surprised as a whole if we would grasp some of the things here in the Bible that we need to go and speak to people. We need to speak to family. And I've had people tell me, say, you can't win your family. You can't talk to your family. Have you tried? If we're not willing to try to win our family, how do we expect, or anybody else can expect me to go out there and win somebody else that I know nothing about? Oh yes, I know the family will come back. And they would bring up things in the past. They would bring up things that happened before I got saved, that I'd done and I'd said back then. But that's in the past. Now is the present. When you allow people to see what we're doing today in the presence of God. The pure in heart. His heart is right with God. When you know your heart and you don't have nothing hidden, you don't have nothing that is just there, and you don't confess it before God, then your heart's not that pure. But if you have a pure heart, then everything that's on your heart is going to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one that needs to be glorified. He's the one that needs the one to be lifted up. Not me. I don't need to be lifted up. If anything, I need to be put down. I need to be put down so low to where the snake can crawl over me. And or I could crawl under the belly of that snake. But I want to have the pure heart. And I'll tell you something. In the day and time we're living, it's hard. I believe this is the hardest time a Christian has had in living for the Lord. His suffering and his persecution. If any man will live godly, he must suffer persecution. They persecute me, for they will persecute you. Notice that these characteristics represent us with a true portrait of the life of Jesus Christ. Are we like him? Are we striving to be like him? And that striving also means it's not just for today. It's for every day that we walk through life. Are we striving for him? And the only way we can do that is through him, through his word. I can't see God. Have you seen God face to face? Have you seen him face to face like I see you? No. No other individual has either.
Even Moses, when Moses went up on a mountain and he gave the Ten Commandments, he had the stones up out and God written down the Ten Commandments down. But after that, then what did they do? Moses went back up and he was praying for the people down below. He was praying. And what happened? The bush become consumed with fire. This green bush that was pure green had come illuminated with fire. And Moses told God, says, God, help me, Lord, and help the people down below. And he said this and said it from the other people too, to other people later on. He says, I finally saw God face to face. No, he didn't. Only thing his eyes looked upon was the hinder part of God. One day, one of these days, I'm going to see him face to face. One of these days, I'm not going to ask him why he done this and why he done that, because I'm going to know it. I'm going to know everything that he knows. Why? Because we're in heaven. If you go to heaven, you're going to know everything. Now, Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Father, we thank you for the book of Matthew. We thank you for the Beatitude, Father, 1 through 12. And Lord, we thank you, Father, that they just not mention just the Beatitudes and the way we act towards people. But I look at it as it's the attitude of the Christian's faith. The Christian's likeness unto God. We need to have that type of faith. And Father, the other day I was thinking about, and I was praying, I was thinking. And I said, Lord, just give me the faith. Just give me the faith to go day by day. Then I got to thinking. He gave me faith. There's faith for me to take it. Then I asked myself, I said, Lord, now I know why you spoke to me about the church. Faith Baptist Church. Father, you wanted me to have that faith. You wanted me to dwell upon that faith. And I thank you for that faith that can only come through you. I do thank you for it. I thank you for each one of these individuals that come out today. Lord Jesus, we pray. Father, we pray, oh God, that you'll give them something that they've been praying for. And Lord, and yes, Lord, maybe one Sunday we can come in here and we can just have people start standing up and giving a testimony and giving how you have so blessed them and ask for prayer. Father, that's what we need. We just need to have a testimony service. We just need to have a service, Father, where you come down from heaven and you indwell within each of our hearts, that Lord, that we will allow you to do the preaching through each and every one of us. Oh yes, Lord, I know probably some here said, well, you know, talking about preaching, everybody here could do a word testimony. And They'd take it and they'd use it like it was preaching. Everybody in here that is saved by the grace of God, the Word of God calls you a preacher. They don't call you a pastor, but he calls you a preacher. The difference between a preacher and a pastor. A preacher is to go out and to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. And a pastor is supposed to also go out there and win souls for you, Lord. But also the pastor needs to take care of the flock that you so graciously give them. And Lord, and I do thank you for that. Because Father, I have learned so much from these people. And they have been a blessing to me through almost the 5 years that I've been here. But Lord, I'm not just looking for that 5 years. I'm looking for the next five. I'm looking for the next 20. I'm looking, Lord, for when you just, we can all be in church one Sunday morning, one Sunday night, one Wednesday night, or in a revival, and the Christians, we hear a noise. We're kind of turn our head over a little bit so we can hear that noise, where that noise coming from. Because that's what we do. It's what we do with our ears. We listen for where the noise comes from. And the noise that we hear is the sound of the trumpet. As soon as that sound starts, we're getting ready. We're getting ready to go, but I think this is just me, Lord. And I believe it, the first time he blows the trumpet, it's where the grave is going to open, where the dead in Christ is going to arrive, is going to arrive up out of that grave. And he's not going to welcome them home no quicker than he welcomes us home. And then he blows the trumpet again, and then that's when he speaks to us and says, now, you come up hither. My children, you come up hither. And he's speaking to the one that has passed on before. And the one that a Christian now still living. Father, sometimes I just get up here and I just start preaching and I reminisce over some of the things, and Lord, and some of the things that I could say. But Father, I know we don't have that much time here. And I know probably someone will say, well, I know probably someone will say, wait, you didn't have to quit then. You didn't have to quit then. You quit when the Lord says quit. There's sometimes, Lord, you say, don't quit. And Lord, then, sometimes we have to quit, because if we don't, we will go over and over what has already been said. Father, we thank you. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you give us the words that we may say to our family member that's lost, or to the family member that's not in church and knows they need to be in church. Yes, Father, I have some like that. All of us have someone like that. We pray, Father God, that you'll give us a heart of love for the people that we speak to. That, Lord, that
as we speak to them, they can just sense the love from each one of us as we speak to them. And they can see the peace of God in our hearts that shows upon our faces. So Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll bring somebody else in next Sunday. Father, help us all to serve you this week. Help us all to be a witness for you. Help us all, Lord Jesus, to be Christ-like. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. All righty. Anybody want to come forward?